And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Welcome, 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 Tampa Bay fans, football junkies, sunshine chasers, and draft day dreamers. You are now tapped into RBLR Bucks, where the vibes are hot, the takes are hotter, and the love for Tampa Bay football runs deep. Well, whether you're cruising down Dale Mabry or chilling by the water or just counting down the hours till kickoff season returns, this is your home. My name is Musab. Welcome to the show. And seriously, we are so fired up you are here to join us. And folks, we got a big one ahead of us. The football world is finally starting to, you know, buzz a little because tomorrow it all begins. The NFL draft. Oh, my Lord. This is what we live for. The hope, the chaos, the steals, the reaches, the stupid nonsense picks, it's all there. That's the beauty of the NFL draft. So this is where dreams become reality, and we kind of sit back and say, yeah, we call that, or, oh, wow, I did not expect that. So this is your moment, too. All right, all those hours you put in, folks, watching film, breaking down tape, arguing in group chats, this is your time to drop your takes. So, you know, we want to hear it from you. Who do you want? Who do you like? Who do you not like? What are our needs? Don't just say a name. Stand on it. Plant your flag. This is the juiciest time of the year to talk ball, and we want you in the conversation. So before we dive deeper, I got to show some love to the entire RBLR crew holding it down across the Tampa Bay. Please do check them out as well. And again, this is never a one-man show. Football is family. It's chemistry. It's energy. And with that being said, I've got to bring in someone who brings all of that and then some. All right. Let me introduce you to the man, the myth, the guy who brings the insight, the energy, and the real talk every single time, Mr. Carter Brantley. Carter, how you doing?
I'm doing much better after that wonderful introduction, Mr. Tariq. It's always a lovely way to start the episode with the soothing, dulcet tones of Musab Tariq coming at you live. We got a great episode coming, man. I'm really excited to this is I was talking to my fiance about this. The NFL draft might be my second favorite sports thing, like only to the World Baseball Classic, frankly. I don't know. Where does the NFL draft rank in your like pantheon of sporting events, Mr. Tariq?
I think it ranks up there, but it's gotta be the right mood or the right, because I've attended or I've just been part of like boring draft day events, yeah, or situations, and then sometimes, sure, I've been a part of like really fun ones, you know what I'm saying? Right. So it all just depends on the vibes. But I don't know why, I just still have a little bit of trauma back in 2021, or it was 2022. It was just because I was so excited. Me and my buddies went out, you know, to the bar, and, you know, we were waiting and waiting for the Bucks to pick, and they got Logan Hall in day two, man. Bro, could you imagine, man, just like, you know, bartender, right, close a tab, man. Like, hey, yo, man, my team didn't even pick anyone. So I still think about that day, honestly. Because I knew the people who worked at the bar really well, and they knew I was a Bucks fan. So they looked at me when they found out that, like, tough day, bud. Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a brutal draft day story. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry you had to go through that. I think Jason Light might owe you some financial restitution for that nonsense, for putting you through that. Hopefully that doesn't happen tomorrow. Hopefully we're having a good time, and we will be live tomorrow. We'll be tuning back in. So hit that like and subscribe button if you want to, you know, keep up to date with our shows, because we'll be doing a little draft show, not nearly as extensive as some other folks who are going to be doing the marathon, which God bless them. Like, that's always a tough thing. We're going to try to aim it so that we're 30 minutes before the Bucks pick and 30 minutes after. So we'll be on at around 9:15, 9:30, somewhere around that range, because the Bucks are picking almost smack dab in the middle of the round. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm pretty excited for it. And we're going to be talking more general draft stuff toward in our second half of the episode. We're going to do we're going to share our first round mocks and see who can, you know, we'll revisit it next week and see who gets the closest to it, like who gets the most picks right. I'm guessing none of us will be cracking double digits because that never happens. We'll at least get one because I'm almost positive all of us had Mendoza going first overall. So at least we'll get that one. But after that, it's really anyone's ball game. So that'll be a lot of fun. So tune back in next week as well for that. And then after that, we're going to do just a Bucks mock draft simulator. We're just going to kind of run through and just kind of, you know, do one ourselves just for fun, just the two of us, Mr. Tariq and I. But hit those comments, man. If y'all are tuned in and want to chime in, maybe you want to try to make a pick for us. Maybe you're going to, you know, if the fan has a strong enough case, then, you know, maybe we'll listen. Maybe we'll even give you that pick. But regardless, the first half of the episode, we're going to be talking about the edge defenders. We saved the best, most important for last. A lot of people have the Bucks taking this position in round one, at least, if not round two or three, because it's arguably their most glaring need. You know, they've got Yaya Diaby on one side and then question mark on the other. I mean, they have made a few offseason additions to try to shore up that defense, that side or that position. Chris Braswell's still there. Anthony Nelson's still there. But, man, it's void of a little talent. It's void of upside, I should say. So that's why this was our top priority for the Bucks. But without much more introduction, let's get into it. Let's get into our guys for this position. Mr. Tariq, who's a guy in round one that you're looking at for the Bucks to target at the edge position?
Yeah, man. My round one guy is, I mean, I just chose him just because of seeing so many mocks. I couldn't imagine you know, going anyone else other than the guy that you got too. So Akeem Ezidor from Miami, you know, dude racked up 12 and a half sacks this past season and got two more in this title game. Pretty baller. Pass rush moves, you know, pretty nasty. He's not, you know, like a one trick kind of guy. He's got, you know, five different ways to, you know, get to the quarterback. Kind of cool to know that Jason Taylor, you know, literally coached him at Miami. So that was just kind of neat. But the kind of thing to think about, at least for me, is first of all, he turns 26 before his rookie season even starts, which is a little concerning. And on top of that, you know, he had foot surgery twice in college. So the injury history is there. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just very worrisome. So a little undersized and short arms for like an edge guy. So, you know, big tackles might give him problems. But otherwise, I don't know. It's just absolute baller, but it's just like, you know, he's not a long-term solution. So I don't know. It's not like, I understand. I'm not going to be mad or anything. I'm just very like, okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's your guy? I feel like I like your guy better, man. So go ahead. Tell the listeners.
I am really glad that one of us picked Akeem Ezidor though, because he has been mocked countlessly to the Bucks, like you said, because we needed to talk about him. But I'll get into my guy before we discuss the pros and cons of each of ours. Mine's Cassius Howell out of Texas A&M. He's kind of another guy that's really, you know, more of an outside linebacker. I mean, Ezidor fits really well in the 3-4 scheme. So does Howell. They're both very much the, you know, the standing outside linebacker type of guy. Howell's biggest draws, which is weird that there are so many of these types of guys in this draft class, but him, you even hear about it with Reuben Bain. Obviously, we talked about it with Ezidor. The lack of length, you know, the lack of arm length, the wingspan is not there for Howell, and he's a bit undersized as well. His lack of strength is a very big concern for a guy on the edge. So his run defense is very much a work in progress, but his explosiveness, his first step, it's really impressive. And he's got an array of pass rush moves similar to Ezidor. He's kind of a younger version of Ezidor almost, but not nearly as productive because Ezidor was a monster this past year. So it's tough, you know, it can be difficult, but he's only going to be 23, I believe, coming into this draft, if not 22. He's obviously not nearly as old as Ezidor. And he's also, Howell's athletic enough to drop back into coverage, especially with, you know, Todd Bowles loves his zone blitzes. He loves to mix it up. He loves to be creative with it. So it's really going to be interesting to watch Howell at the NFL level. Could it be in a Bucs uniform? Absolutely. Especially with the Bucs potentially trading back. That's been a big thing, And Howell might be a bit of a reach at 15, frankly. But if they trade back to the 20s, that actually slots a lot better. He's projected by a lot of folks to kind of fall into that range. But going back to Mesidor, because I like Howell a lot. I think he would be a solid pick in round one. At 15, like I said, it would be a bit of a reach. But getting back to Mesidor, I don't know. So you said you liked Howell better. What made you – because I agree, and I kind of lean on the age, because for me, if you're 26 and you're going into the draft, why weren't you declaring when you were younger? You know, it's kind of
even kind of watching the tape, it makes you think, you know, there's a little bit of that kind of Reuben Bain factor, you know.
Sure.
Howell is, you know, it's not like, you know, it was him and someone else who were
right.
I'm sure, you know, the other guy, you know, was just as good or was solid and all that, but it was the Reuben Bain Mesidor show. And I feel like, you know, Bain rightfully so deserves, you know, that praise a little bit more than Mesidor. I think we can all agree to that. But yeah, just the age and the injury history. I mean, Cashless Howell had a little bit of injury history in the past as well, but this is ongoing, you know what I'm saying? So there hasn't been any kind of, you know, concerns recently with Cassius Howell, but on the other hand, with Akeem Mesidor, it's kind of bad. And on top of that, it's like these like foot ligaments, you know what I'm saying? So it just, right. You know, I don't know. It just takes a couple of, you know, bad moments and boom, it's over. And then, you know, all that just for kind of a round one pick to go down the drain. So
right.
I'll leave it to the doctors and the medical staff to, you know, of course, you know, give that red light, green light, you know, but yeah.
No, but that's a great point about, because I, you know, the injury and the age is probably the two biggest red flags for Mesidor, but the Bain factor is something that I didn't really think about, but it's really an interesting factor. Cause you know, you think about a team game planning for the Miami Hurricanes this past year. Bain was the first guy that came to mind. Mesidor, he wasn't an afterthought necessarily, but you know, when you have a guy like Reuben Bain lining up against you, you're going to focus a lot of your efforts there. So that's a great shout. That's a really good take. I didn't even necessarily enter my mind, but yeah, Mesidor is going to be, he's going to be an interesting guy to monitor regardless, just because of the age factor. Really, I think that's probably the most fascinating part of his draft profile. You just don't see guys that old that are mocked or that are thought of as round one guys very often. So we'll see if Jason Light, you know, if he pulls the trigger on Mesidor or Howell. You know, these are two very interesting players coming off the edge. I don't know. We'll see if they trade back, how that impacts what they decide to do with their picks, because then it gives them a little bit more ammunition. There's been a lot of talk about the Steelers, and the Steelers have been floating the idea of trading Nate Herbig or the Alex Highsmith. I always want to call him Highwood for some reason. But yeah, Alex Highsmith. Either one of those guys would be awesome for the Bucks, and it would alleviate the concerns for the Bucks to have to take an edge. There have been some trades that have been floated around, and I really love all of them, frankly. I would be really excited to see either one of those guys in a Bucks uniform. They're much more proven commodities at the NFL level than just drafting a guy. But we'll see. You know, Jason Light hasn't necessarily been super eager to pull the trigger on trading for guys. He's much more of a draft and believe kind of GM. So we'll see. But any closing thoughts on round one or the possibility of a trade back with the Steelers, Mr. Tree?
Yeah, I was just going to say I like that Steelers trade back. I think that would be really neat, pretty exciting. Kind of just, you know, I just remember this was, you know, kind of piggybacking off what Zach said a couple of weeks ago, just that, you know, I too now, you know, thinking about it, I'm not sold on anyone, you know, in the top 15 other than, you know, Bailey and Bain, you know, in the edge rush room, you know. And for that reason, I just think, you know, there are a lot of other ways we can go about this. So, yeah. I mean, there are other needs.
For sure.
I think totally fine. That's why, I mean, that's why, you know, we'll continue on with this episode, and I would be a little bit more open to, you know, drafting an edge rusher a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if that trade were to go through, if Herbig or Highsmith would be included, I think that might knock edge out of the Bucks' plans entirely, other than just like if it's the later rounds and you're like, oh, well, best player I can contribute on special teams, that type of thing. But
yeah, because there was that online report I had shared with you early. I forgot where I'd seen it, but a gentleman by the name of Markowski, he kind of came up with this, you know, how, you know, reports indicate Steelers could be interested in moving on from, you know, Highsmith. The proposal would be that, you know, Bucks would receive the 21st pick. And then, you know, Steelers will receive the 15th pick, but Bucks would also get a third round pick in this draft, as well as a fifth round pick. And then, yeah, Alex Highsmith, and then Steelers would get first round pick, a fourth round pick for this year, and then a 2027 second round pick. So,
yeah,
shared that with you. Seemed like it was pretty appealing in your eyes, which is nice. I mean, yeah. I think that's the way to go about it. I think that would be real cool.
Yeah, it would be really interesting. I think it would be a fun way for the Bucks to not only compete for this year, but also be able to address other needs that are a little bit more long-term potentially, because then Highsmith immediately raises their floor just as a team. Like, I think that makes their defense go from, like, a below average group to potentially maybe even an average group, especially depending on how they use the rest of their draft selections. So it would be a fascinating move for sure. I would be really interested in that. But we'll see. You know, regardless, there's some other ways that they could address the edge room. And one of those is being in round two or round three. I'll start off with our round two, round three guys for the edge room. My guys at Kerryon Crawford, my official edge guy, my favorite edge guy is going to be my day three guy, but Kerryon Crawford is my second favorite. He's really interesting. He's a good balance of pass rush and run defense skills. Whereas Howell and Mezidor, especially, they're a little bit more like their pass rushers, and then their run defense struggles a little bit. Kerryon Crawford, a little bit more well-balanced. What I really like about him are a few things. He just started playing football in his senior year of high school, so it's still only his fifth season actually playing organized football. Also, he was a team captain last year, and he's shown improvement every year. Like, he's gotten a little bit better every season, and it's just shown a real willingness to learn and improve his skills. And he's also got just such a high motor. He had 43 pressures last year. His measurables are a little bit rough, like his arm length, hand size, height, and weight aren't perfect. 40 wasn't great, but he was productive enough at Auburn, and the upside there with him still learning the game, I think, would be really great. And he's a third round pick, so it's even like on the lower end of the round two, round three label. He's definitely a solid pick for me.
Kind of the Akeem Mezidor to Kendrick Faulk, on Auburn, kind of like that situation.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, exactly.
No, man. I remember. Yeah, I saw a little bit of tape of him as well. Yeah, he's got a nice little pursuit speed.
Yes,
I remember seeing. Some people mentioned that as well. So, yeah, man, I think I would be totally open to that. I know you had mentioned, yeah, this would be like a good, like, round three guy. So leaves two other needs open.
Right, exactly.
If we're doing that, Carter, I'm going like someone like Avion Terrell in the round one, and then I would go like J-Rod round two or something. You know, that
I'm
would
telling
be,
you, man, immediately then, improve the defense
and,
by a lot.
And then Kerryon Crawford, I think that would be a dream come true.
That would be great.
Yeah. Be great. Oh, yeah. So, but my guy is Zion Young from Missouri. He was a three-star recruit. No one really knew about him. And then this past season, 9 sacks. So just kind of came out of nowhere. He's also an absolute dog against the run. PFF had him 96% run defense grade. Just crazy. So 6'6". He's got like a never quit motor. I mean, just, you know, chasing guys down, you know, every single snap. Now the kind of maybe some, you know, eyebrow raising concerns. First, you know, the first step off the ball scouting reports have it, you know, that he's a little slow, perhaps, which is maybe that's, you know, why he may not be higher on the boards. Tackles can get into him early. Needs more moves in his bags, you know, unlike Akeem Mezidor. You know, yeah, he when plan A doesn't really work out, he just tries to muscle through. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. He's probably going to be in for a rude awakening if he thinks he's going to be able to get away with that. Cause you know, this ain't the Raging Cajuns no more. Zion Young, this is, you know, the starting left tackle, you know, for the Detroit Lions you're talking about, you know? So, but, and then, look, he's an absolute athletic beast and all that. Then the other thing is two off the field incidents. One was a couple years ago, and then he had a, a DWI arrest in December. Probably going to scare some teams off. So, yeah, those things, of course, never look good. I mean, right. It's not appealing. But, oh, yeah, I remember now that I remember the other one. The other one was just some, like, in-the-tunnel scuffle. Just a young lad, you know, who's a little heated.
Sure.
But this one though, yeah, man, this one's a little different. So I don't blame Mr. Light in the office if they have to, let him go or let him walk on by. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Let him walk on by. I like that.
I would say drive on by, but yeah.
Oh, yikes. Zion Young, definitely an interesting name. I'll be curious to see how that, like you said, those two off field incidents, I wonder if that takes him off the board for the Bucks entirely. But man, his size is really impressive. And that run defense, man, it's hard to find for a guy like 6'6" and just does as much as he does against the run. So, he'll make a team happy. We'll see if it's the Bucks, but definitely an interesting name to watch out for in this draft, especially in that round 2/round 3 range. My day 3 guy, though, I was really excited about this guy. I was kind of frankly surprised that he was even day 3. Like, he's kind of all over the board. For some folks, they have him going as high as round 4. Some places he's like a round 6 pick. So it's kind of all over the place. Caden Curry out of Ohio State. He had a monster season in terms of production. He had an eye-popping 12 sacks this past year at Ohio State. Kind of came almost out of nowhere, like very much like an unheralded type of guy. So there's a reason why. Like, his traits are not great. Like, he doesn't have the wow eye-popping combine numbers. Like, his RAS is not super high. So that might be enough of a reason for a team to maybe pass on him in the early rounds. But his production was elite at Ohio State, especially that last year. And he's really just solid in both run and the pass. There's not really an eye drop, or there's not really a drop in either one. So really impressive stuff. 6'3", 260. He's 23 years old. So he would be really interesting. I don't know how teams are going to evaluate him, if they want him more as like a hand on the ground type of pass rusher, or maybe he's going to be evaluated as kind of a stand up outside linebacker. I'm not really sure, but either way, he was really productive, and productive enough at Ohio State to warrant, especially if he's there in round 5 or 6, I think he would be a really fascinating pick. So Caden Curry, that's my guy. He would be a really fun late day kind of hidden gem, if you will, to use a Musab Tariq-ism. But how about you, Mr. Tariq? Who's your day 3 edge rusher?
First of all, dude, I want to give some love to Caden Curry, dude. I love that pick. I remember I actually, months ago, whatever, I had him on a mock or something when I was playing it around. He comes from an absolute nasty Ohio State defense, dude. Just so many studs. I remember that, dude. You know, everybody and their mother, you know, you were always looking. And when I first started really closely watching Ohio State, it was, you know, looking closely for, you know, Sonny Styles and Arville Reese.
Right.
Then there'd be times where, you know, Caden McDonald, or you hear Caden or Caden Curry. And I think that's the beauty of being picked in the later rounds, as, you know, the expectations go down, or you're kind of more like, hey, as long as you can be like a plug-in guy, we're happy. You know what I'm saying? If you're around one, man, look, man, we want you to like make a difference like now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but you get him later. You can work something out. But that also being said, yeah, I've seen him in some like round 4 mocks as well.
Yeah.
I think this could be like a guy you get earlier. Now, on the other hand, my guy, I would probably say is also a hidden gem. I got to say, man, if you know ball, man, you got to give a lot more love or recognition to someone like Caden Curry compared to my guy, who I wouldn't be surprised if you don't know who it is. Nadame Tucker from the good old Mac institution of Western Michigan University. All right. So let me tell you something. First of all, I actually remember watching him a couple of times here and there for, you know, the good old Tuesday night action, you know. So I remember he first caught my eye. Didn't play football until senior year of high school. He was like a basketball kid at first. And then still tied for the FBS sack lead in 2025 with 14.5. Went to the Senior Bowl as the only Mac guy invited and proceeded to absolutely just wreck it. He got a strip sack. That was play of the whole game. Bend and hand timing, pretty impressive for someone who's barely been playing. Unfortunately, though, it kind of popped up out of nowhere. It was like 3 dead years at Houston, never recorded a sack, which is kind of something that, you know, people are wondering, you know, what exactly is the case? And age is also a factor. He's going to turn 26 before his first NFL snap. Only has like 1 year of real film. You know, that's a lot to bet on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So run defense, unfortunately, is not much existent. So he gets, you know, swallowed up, loses his gap way too easily. Probably why, you know, he's going to be a little bit more of a later round day 3 hidden gem. I will also say, if not us, I could see the Chargers snagging him. His defensive coordinator at Western Michigan University was hired by the Chargers. So just saying, that could be like a little move made by them or something. If not us, that's just a little call out. Maybe he goes to the Chargers, but
yeah,
it also gets harder to kind of hit these guys on the nail because anyone can grab them anytime or
right. You know. Yeah, he's a tough one, man. Like, I don't know what to make of Tucker. He's really interesting because, like you said, the tape at the Senior Bowl was excellent and he was so productive in his last season. But, you know, playing in the MAC and that's his only season. Like you said, man, that's his 1 year of tape. You know, that's the perfect way to put it. I think that's probably – that and his age are probably the two biggest red flags, frankly. Because, you know, playing against the MAC, like, you can think lowly of it all you want. But, you know, 14.5 sacks is 14.5 sacks. Like, you were balling. So, yeah, man, we'll see. He's definitely a very interesting day 3 guy. I've seen people say as early as round 6 for him. That would be really interesting to see if he goes that early. But, yeah, man, I really like the Ndamaye Tucker shout out. He's definitely going to be an interesting name to watch as the day 3 sickos tune in. I will probably be one of them. But, hey, you know, it's a fun time. But if you're looking – if you're a Tampa Bay sports sicko, if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe, much like the Bucks are looking to upgrade their edge room, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some great gear for you there. We can give you this promo code to celebrate draft week. That's Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type that in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. It's a way to support the show. So anyways, we will move on to the second half of our show. As promised, we are going to be doing some first round mock drafts, just showing who we think is going to go where, to what team just in the first round. We couldn't do an entire set. That would take years of our lives. So we just exclusively focused on the first round. We're not going to spend too much time on this. We mostly just want to put it up and then kind of move on from it and maybe break down a little bit. But that's the main goal here. So without further ado, Mr. Tariq, if you wouldn't mind queuing up the screenshots, I think
we can absolutely go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let me do that. So I think we're gonna start off with I think yours is gonna be first, Carter. So let me yes, it's gonna be all right. I think this one's yours. Hold up.
No worries. Yeah, I think I had, let's see, I think I had Mendoza. I mean, I had Mendoza going first, just like everyone else. Let me see if I can pull it up on my phone.
Is this it? I have it on there now.
Oh, there we go. Yep, that looks right. Let's see. Yep, because I didn't have Jeremiah Love going until the Steelers. Yeah. Okay, so this is mine. The Jeremiah Love pick is probably the biggest, like, eyebrow raiser. I don't think that's actually going to happen. I think someone's going to pick him. Someone's going to be weird and silly. If it's the Cardinals, the Titans, the Giants, or the Saints, or the Commanders, it could really be any one of those teams. I hope not, because frankly, none of those teams are really good enough to be like a running back away from being competitive. So that was kind of my thought behind it. Casey Concepcion, I know that that's a bit early for him, 16 to the Jets. But man, I'm a really big fan of his. I think he could be really good at the next level. And the Jets are in desperate need of talent across the board, really. But, you know, if they're trying to build something for their quarterback of the future, if they pick that next year, which I think they should, that could be really interesting. I've heard a lot about Carson Beck going in the first or second round, bonkers to me. Yeah, I don't know what that people are thinking. Maybe his agent is doing some PR. I don't know, but there have been like some actual NFL insiders that have been talking about that. Hopefully the Jets aren't one of those teams. But as you can see, I had the Bucks taking Kenyon Sadiq 15th. I thought that was really fun. So yeah, this is kind of where I went. I tried to balance like what I would do and also what I think the teams will do, but I wasn't always successful. A big shout out to Chris Johnston at the end of the draft, though. He's one of my favorite players in this draft, frankly. I think he's going to surprise some people and be one of the best quarterbacks that comes out of this class. And the Seahawks will be really good, unfortunately, by drafting him. I also had the Browns taking Ty Simpson, just because that seems like a very Browns thing to do. Take another quarterback because, yeah, they're just weird.
Yeah,
they're just weird. So, yeah, that's mine. We'll revisit this next week and see how much I got wrong, which will probably be all of it except for maybe Fernando Mendoza. So, yeah, that's my mock draft. If we want to move on to either yours or
– Absolutely. Yep. Let me switch on over. All right. So this one is going to be, I think – this one's Zach's. Yeah, this one's Zach's.
There we go. All right. So let's break down Zach's a little bit. He did have Jermod McCoy going at the end of the first round. I didn't pick Jermod at all in the first round. I was just really concerned that he.
Yeah, with the injury.
That stuff is scary. That stuff is, it does not sound good. We saw it with Will Johnson last year. I mean, Will Johnson was considered like a top 10 pick potentially. And then the injury stuff came out and he fell out of the first round. I unfortunately think that's probably going to happen with McCoy, which sucks. Super talented player. And whoever picks him, if he can figure out the injury stuff, it'll be a great player. But that's a risk that many teams probably aren't going to be willing to take in the first round. So that's really interesting. He's got Caleb Banks going to the Cowboys. This is one of my favorite picks that he made because I think just Caleb Banks in a Cowboys uniform, he's so athletic. He's got all the combine numbers. He's got a super high RAS, and he's a name brand guy. He went to a big school. It just seems like Cowboys, Caleb Banks is a marriage that's just made in heaven. So I really liked that pick.
I also love how much Clemson there is from 27 just back to 31. Oh, my.
Yeah. Yes, right at the end of the round. I love it. That's a good shout. He has a key message.
Well, he had Jeremiah Love at number 4.
Yes. Ooh. Which, hey, I don't disagree that it could happen. That's very much a pick that we could go back to and say, dang, yeah, Zach was cooking here. Yeah, I don't blame him, man. Did you have any other – what other picks kind of popped to you out of Zach Williams' first round?
Man, I think it's pretty solid, man. I like it. I just just wish Fano and – Ioane could sneak down a little bit. I hope they do. You know, we see some weird things in the NFL draft. So
I'd be
open to any of those guys. I think maybe that's going to be my question after we go over mine is looking at all the guys before, our pick. Who do we like? So let's see here. So that was Zach's. Yeah. Okay. And now we are going to go over mine real quick. All right. Here we go. Okay. So, yeah, Mendoza, Arville Reese. Yeah, good old – I had Jeremiah Love at 4 as well. I mean, just the same, man. Just I'm trying to – Avion Terrell, man. I like Avion Terrell a lot, dude. I think he's an absolute animal. I wouldn't be surprised if, a team like the Cowboys gets him early. Wow.
Yeah, 12 is high. I haven't seen Terrell go that high, but I really like him too. I really like Avion.
Absolute stuff. And then Omar Cooper. I think you just, he's a stud as well. I think you just, this was more kind of just, being a little bit different too. So I just wanted to, get a little unique with it.
Yeah, I love it. Jordan Tyson's injury concerns.
Yeah.
Also there. Like there.
But with the Spencer. Yeah. Spencer Fano or Olave Vega, Ioane, man. I would love either of them. Spencer Fano would be not. That would be a dream come true just because of the versatility. That's why, if he falls there. But everyone else, with Jermod McCoy and Colton, McCoy is gonna, he's gonna fall down. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes maybe in the second or third round or something.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
Yeah. And on top of that, I'm just noticing it makes me wonder how many, if you think we'll even see any back to back like same universities, because I think all of us had it at one point. I know. I think he has Zach with the Clemson, me with Tennessee right here, and Oregon with Dylan Thiedemann and Kenyon Sadiq. And I think you probably had one out there as well. So I'm going to go back and probably find it. But
it might have been the two Ohio State guys. But yeah, that's interesting, man. We'll have to come back next week and revisit this and see how much we got right, and see more importantly how much we got wrong. Because it's probably going to be a lot more, not probably, it's going to be a lot more wrong than it is right. But hey, you know, that's all right. That's part of the fun. That's part of the fun of doing these silly.
Well, I think the first 15 I think we're going to hit a lot on those beginning ones, or we have a potential to. It just gets weird after. I think it gets weird after like pick 18 or something.
Yeah, it does get really weird after a certain amount of time. That's where we're headed. And now we're going to do a mock draft simulator of just the Bucks. So let's get it started here. Let me share my screen real quick. I understand. Let's see. Oh goodness, my computer is just being a nasty. Come on. We just did this before the show, and of course now it's deciding to be weird. But
I'll have backup reinforcements ready as well.
Yeah, I think I got it.
Okay.
Let's see. There we go. All right, we're good.
All right.
Okay, so wow, right off the bat, really interesting draft. So as y'all can see, Kenyon Sadiq is still there. We've still got Caden Proctor still there. That's interesting. I think Ione to the Ravens feels like a hand-in-glove fit to me. I really like him. Mm-hmm. Spencer Fano already gone, so that pretty much knocks out the team.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with taking.
So the best ones
I like
Caden
Proctor.
Yeah.
But he's a tackle. Like he's not inside. Really interesting. Dylan Thiedemann going 11th. That's pretty high. So we'll see. We'll see how accurate this ends up being. But I don't know. I'm opening up the floor to discussion, so to speak. My favorite is probably going to be Mr. Kenyon Sadiq. I've been drafting him a lot.
I think it makes up for it, man. I think, you know, regardless of how you feel, even with the whole, I know we have other needs, of course, but I mean, I think we just say, look, this is elite talent. We'll figure out the rest. As I know Tyler had mentioned, you know, we can do two tight end sets, you know, kind of have Kate Otten more like, you know, as the blocker, and then you can throw in, you know, Kenyon Sadiq is more kind of like that slot style. And on top of that, I mean, I think he could be a big help to, you know, Baker Mayfield with those quick pass situations or something like that.
Yeah.
When you just got to rack up a little bit, you know, just to get that first down or something. So, yeah, man.
Absolutely. We talked about it at length in our tight end episode. But yeah, all the reasons you just mentioned and those two tight end sets, man, that makes it so much harder for defenses to really key in when you have two tight ends that provide such a different set of skills, because then it's like, oh well, if just Sadiq is out there or just Otten's out there, maybe you kind of overplay your hand on what play you're calling, you know, maybe the defense can read the personnel and adjust and all that stuff, where you got both of them out there, man, everything's fair, you know, everything's on the table. You can put him in motion and you can still have a, you know, there's just so much you can do with him. So I think we're in agreement here. We're gonna go with Kenyon Sadiq. So that's our first Bucks pick. We'll see how the rest of this draft shakes out. Let's see. Oh, Zion Young goes to the Bills in the first round. There's Casey Concepcion. He's off the board. Nope. Cassius Howell is off the board. Let's see. Oh, D'Angelo Pons. He was going to be a favorite of mine. Jacob Rodriguez is there.
All right.
Man, if I have no idea what I would do if I was Jason Light in this situation. Because, man, I know if Zach Blaine were here, he would be yelling at me, they just picked Jacob Rodriguez. And that's probably true, and that's probably the right move. But, man, I love Kalen Rutledge. He is so good. Like, I think he's going to be, like, one of the best interior offensive linemen in the NFL, kind of right.
But it makes you wonder, man. You're going tight end. I mean, that's an exceptional tight end. So it's a kind of a, you know. And then you're going guard. So it just makes you wonder, Carter, you know, we're going two offense pieces when the defensive room has been crying for help. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to play a little bit of devil's advocate because, yeah, man, I've heard great things from you for Kalen Rutledge, and I've heard great things we've heard great things regarding Jacob Rodriguez from Zach. So
I think he would kill us if we didn't pick J-Rod here. And frankly,
yeah, man, just because he's out, I feel like, yeah, this is like, you know, doing him injustice, especially since he can't speak for himself.
Absolutely. And the good news here is I don't think the Bucks can go wrong with either of these picks. Like, let's say it played out like this and Rodriguez and Rutledge were the two picks, were both there. If they picked either one of them, two thumbs up for me. I don't have a preference either way, because I can see legitimacy for either one. We're going to go with Rodriguez, though. Does that sound good to you, Mr. Tree?
I'm good with me, yep.
All right, cool. Yeah, I love Rodriguez. He's great. And, of course, Rutledge gets picked the very next selection. It makes sense. There's R. Mason Thomas. I know he's a big favorite for a lot of Bucks fans if they're picking
edge. Oh, there goes Avion Terrell. Wow, in the late second round.
Taylen Green went third round of the Cardinals.
All right. So
the Bucks are on the clock.
We got a linebacker and we have a tight end.
So far, not super enthused about the selections here. Scrolling. Wow. Yeah, a little bit light. I gotta be honest.
What happens when you go Kenyon? This is what happens when you go Kenyon Sadiq.
I guess so. Yeah.
I was reading up about this. Is like, you know, this is the kind of risk you're taking. Then, you know, you're saying we'll be all right. You know, we'll work things out. You know.
Yeah.
Messi, thoughts on LT Overton?
I was about to say. I'm glad you brought him up, because I think LT Overton would be a really interesting round three edge guy. I wonder where is. Oh, Kerryon Crawford already got picked. Man.
Kilgore's gone too. Otherwise,
Man, that's tough. That's really tough.
In the corner. Who's left with the corners? Yeah, even cornerback.
Cornerback's not looking great either. Like, we'll go to the cornerback spot here. Let's see. We scrolled past it. I mean, Dakario Davis is kind of interesting. I like him. Yeah. Malik Muhammad, I've mocked him to the Bucks a few times.
Yeah.
He's an interesting one for sure. Yeah, I mean, the tough part about LT Overton is just that, you know, he's more of a defensive end kind of guy. He wouldn't necessarily be a guy that you just line up on the edge and just have him stand up. He's definitely not a stand-up type of – so, yeah, I don't know. He's an interesting one. I really like Jayshon Barham. I think he could be really interesting. He's more of the outside linebacker type, and they could drop him into coverage a lot because they used him as an off-ball linebacker quite a bit at Michigan. Coverage isn't necessarily his strong suit, though, so that's why he could potentially be an outside linebacker pass rush type. He's just a little light. You know, he's 240, but luckily his wingspan is really good. Like, he's got long arms. So, I don't know. How would you feel about Jayshon Barham?
I'm with him, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think given how it shook out, I think
given
this would probably
how, yeah.
be, yeah, I think this would be a good one. There's probably a wild card. There's probably folks out there who think Garrett Nussbaier would be really interesting. I don't like it. I don't think the Bucks need to draft. I don't think so. So we'll go with Barham.
Bro, drafting a quarterback before an edge is gonna cause riots.
That would get Zach Blaine riled up for sure. he would get pretty riled up for sure. All right, now we're going to the Carson Beck. There was Carson Beck. He just flew off the board. All right, let's see how this round four shakes out. I really like Catron Allen. He's like a between the tackles, like super high success rate type of running back. He would be really interesting. Jacoby Lane is really fun. He's got a lot of athleticism. Skylar Bell, Skylar Bell is probably my favorite so far as I continue to scroll. But because Skylar Bell was uber productive at UConn. And he would be like a really fun fourth wide receiver. Harold Perkins Jr., man, you know I love me an LSU guy. All right, well, what are you feeling, Mr. Tariq? Do you want me to look at any specific positions?
How are we looking? Yeah, maybe I'm just thinking too hard-headed regarding, you know, our needs.
Right, I know quarterback is a position.
But
let's check it out. It's just tough. I want to revisit Domani Jackson.
I think 155
if he's still there. He is super tall, super long, and he's really fast. Like, he fits all the criteria of what Jason Light looks for in a cornerback, I think he would be a really interesting pick. So maybe let's hold off on corner. He has been one of my favorite picks for the Bucs.
I think we should just go, best overall or who,
I think I want to go Jakobi Lane or Skylar Bell. I think I want to go Skylar Bell. Thing about Bell is he's a little bit undersized, and I think that's tough, but I'm going to go Skylar Bell. I like Skylar Bell.
These guys.
All right, Catron Allen off the board. There goes Jakobi Lane. Let's see. Oh, there's Michael Trigg. We talked about him in our tight ends episode. If we hadn't drafted Speak, I think he would have been an interesting one.
All right.
Oh, there's Oscar Delp. He was another good one. Okay, so Harold Perkins still there. Deontay Lawson. He's another guy that he could be really fascinating. But, man, we already picked Rodriguez, and they have so many linebackers. Justin Jefferson, kind of an interesting name. But I think Domani Jackson's going to be my name. What do you think?
I would go Domani Jackson.
All right. Domani Jackson, round five. There goes Harold Perkins and Lawson back to back, and Justin Jefferson, or not Justin Jefferson, you know who I'm talking about. But
I didn't realize Spencer had a brother named Logan.
He was their edge guy this past year. Really, really big time player. All right, let's look at our picks real quick. So we've gone tight end, linebacker, edge, wide receiver, corner. Okay. Those are pretty defensible. One position that I might want to look at specifically is interior offensive line. Also, I'm not going to lie, Demonte Capehart. I'm really high on him.
I see Caden Curry's name if you want to save that for later.
Yes, Caden Curry is there. Yeah. He is also there. I really like both of those guys. Because once you get into the later rounds, you're not really
drafting. I've seen Cage Casey's name a little bit in some mocks.
Yeah, Cage Casey, he's really interesting. I really like Parker Brailsford as well. They could use a backup center. Their interior line could really use some shoring up. I mean, we saw it last year with all the injuries. It got kind of nasty there for a while. So I think Brailsford, Cage Casey would be really interesting. I really like Demonte Capehart, and obviously Caden Curry's my guy, but I don't know. It's really interesting. I think I'm leaning towards either Caden Curry or Demonte Capehart. What do you think, Musab?
I say we go Demonte Capehart.
Yeah. I think so too.
And then we take the risk. Yeah. And
Capehart has all the traits. He's like, it's so funny because Capehart and Curry are probably opposites for me, like as prospects, because Capehart has like virtually no tape, virtually no production. He played a little bit his senior season, but his combine numbers were insane. Like, that's the only reason that he's risen so much is because, like, he went from, like, this random guy who just declared for the draft to, like, oh, shoot, like, some mocks even have him going, like, as early as round five. I don't think that's realistic, but it could happen. He's that athletic. He's that talented. So, yeah, I think Demonte Capehart, he's an interesting guy because he's kind of like a ball of clay. You don't really know. There goes Caden Curry to the Jaguars. But you don't really know where he's going to end up in terms of, like, defensive line positioning. But he could be really interesting. So I like that pick for us a lot. I like that pick for us a lot. Round seven, this is where we can get kind of kooky. What do you think? I'm not seeing any names that jump out to me first. I mean, Kate Klubnik is still there. Let's see. Is there a position that you – oh! Wade Woodaz is really interesting because he's like an older fella. He was at Clemson for a long time. He was like a leader. He would be like a chip on his shoulder, like a practice squad guy that would kind of – he would be a good Hard Knocks character.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, he would be a good Hard Knocks character for sure. Any positions you want to look at specifically, Mr. Tariq?
No, man, at this point – you just get, whatever you think. Let's go over our picks real quick.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
So we got, tight end, linebacker, edge, wide receiver, cornerback, and then defensive line.
That's pretty well balanced. We hit on a lot of different positions.
Yeah, man. Wow.
I think with a lot of these picks, I think you're betting you're betting on their upside. These aren't necessarily guys.
Yeah, I'm trying to see maybe like safety. Let's see what
safeties are available. I like that shout out a lot. There was a guy for SMU. I forget his name. He's probably going to pop up here. Yes, Nwokobia.
Yeah. He was my guy. Okay.
Yeah, because I remember he had like a great 2024, and then he just fell off a cliff. Yeah, he had a great start to his collegiate career, and then just like fell off a cliff in 2025. So like if you're looking for upside, if you're trying to bet on him bouncing back to his previous production, that would be really fascinating. But this past year being such a stinker, it does concern you. It does sort of raise your eyebrow, so to speak. So what do you think? You think Nwokobia would be a good one?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. I really like our drafts. I think that was a good one. All right, let's see.
Oh, and you got a reward. Nice.
There you go.
Yep. Grading our draft. What do you think? What would you grade it real quick before it comes out with the grade?
Oh, so I don't.
I'm gonna say B+.
I don't think, since I picked a custom board, I picked like the consensus board. I didn't pick the PFF board. I would probably give our draft like a B plus.
Oh, what did it give us?
Oh, it didn't give us any
grade. Oh, I thought it was saying calculating grade. Okay.
Yeah.
Grades are not okay. With custom big board, I gotcha. Nice. Yeah. Okay, so we got. Okay. Nice. Yeah, man. Kenyon Sadiq, Jacob Rodriguez, then, Jayshon Barham, third round, wide receiver Skylar Bell from UConn, cornerback.
Yeah, I really like Skylar Bell.
Yeah,
they fed him the ball. I know UConn didn't play the best competition this past year. They were basically like a. I don't want to call them like they were a mid-major school at best. They were sort of like in the American Conference. They're an independent, but like they play teams that were on the lower level. But man, Skylar Bell was like the guy there for their offense. He was like just getting force fed the ball. His target share was insane at UConn. So I really like him because he was really productive as well. Like not only were they feeding him the ball a lot, he was also doing something with it. So I really like him a lot. So, that's our draft right there. Kenyon Sadiq, Jacob Rodriguez, like Usab just went through it. Damani Jackson is a favorite of mine. If the Bucks end up with Damani Jackson, I'd be really excited because he's a very high upside kind of guy with his height and athleticism. Just really needs to refine a lot of his corner skills. So you could say the same thing for Demonte Capehart. But I think Isaiah Nwokobia is the most proven out of those later picks. Like he's probably the guy that they could depend on maybe to play some safety if things go south with Tyke Smith or Antoine Winfield Jr., God forbid either one of them gets hurt. So any overall closing thoughts on our simulated draft, Mr. Tariq?
No, man. I was going to say, this is not something that, I had thought, we would end up, kind of choosing a lot of these names, don't know extremely too well, but I think that's just how it is, in these kind of drafts.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of surprises. I'm happy with, the guys that we did get, especially with, I'm content with Sadiq and Jacob Rodriguez, I think is going to be the home run pick, fingers crossed. But I think a lot of the other guys have, definitely a lot of potential. And then, expectations go down a little bit, for those later round guys. Just hope they're able to do something. Fingers crossed everyone stays healthy. So, but yeah, man, I'm excited, to see how it all, plays out tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. Well, regardless of how it plays out, we're going to be hopping on this show and doing a little bit of live watch along with the draft. We'll be back tomorrow. And then we'll be back next week to really recap the whole draft because, we're not going to be able to do as that many shows because we've got jobs and other lives. So, so we've got other things to do rather than sit through the day two and day three. But we'll be here next week to talk about it all, what the Bucks did, what the Bucks didn't do. Hopefully maybe some trades, maybe the Bucks will move around in the first round. That would be fascinating. But regardless of what happens, we'll be back here to talk about it with y'all. So give us a like or subscribe on your way out. Give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports on all the socials. We'd really appreciate it. Shout out to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq, for making this incredibly easy. Shout out to our producer, Eureka Wheeler. And we'll see y'all next week. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.